The Legislative Advisory Committee will come to order. This meeting is been called. Commissioner Hansen sent us a letter. I think it's in the packet. That under Minnesota Statutes 473-915, the Met Council must notify appropriate members of the LAC and ranking members of the appropriate committees of any proposed procurement exceeding $125 million. And apparently the Met Council's in the process of doing about a $200 million procurement.
That's great.
And so members were kind of interested in, okay, what are we doing? So welcome.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Judd Shetton, and I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council, and we appreciate the opportunity to come and for the committee and talk about our procurement. With me, Mark Furman, who is the General Manager of our Project Office, who is going to walk through a bit of an overview of the Central Corridor and then go through the procurement. And Mark is the expert on these issues. You have particular questions related to the procurement, he'll be able to answer those for you. I know to his right he has a stack of documents, which is really the procurement that we are putting out. We had originally planned on doing this on yesterday. We have delayed the procurement until March 2nd, so we have adjusted our timetable in order to make sure that we fit in within your schedule. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Furman.
Welcome, Mr. Furman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for having us to give you an overview on the Central Corridor LRT project, Minnesota's largest infrastructure project in our history here in Minnesota. I wanted to provide really an overview of the project scope, schedule, and budget will be the focus, and then I'll drill down some on the Civil East procurement, which is the notice that we had sent to Commissioner Hansen recently notifying you of that procurement exceeding $125 million. At your place, everyone should have a handout that we've generated for you. And I'll just walk us through that, and I would certainly invite questions at any time as we go through today's presentation. The project is 11 miles linking the two downtowns via the University of Minnesota and the state capitol down the midway section of the University Avenue corridor. We will have 18 new stations as part of this project, and we will serve over 40,000 passengers per weekday, the heaviest traveled transit line in Minnesota.
How much does Hiawatha carry right now?
Chair, we're carrying 28 to 30,000 per weekday.
Don't you think 40 is a little low based on that?
Mr. Chair, we have done our best to forecast what the ridership will be on Central. We have used our Hiawatha experience to calibrate our forecasting model. We have presented this to FTA, the Federal Transit Administration, and they've accepted that forecast of about 40,000.
But that's not what I asked. Don't you think that's a little low?
Mr. Chair, I use the models to estimate, and we believe that that is a fair estimate at this point in time. Right now, the bus service in the corridor carries in the mid-20,000s.
What was your projection for Hiawatha? Prior to its construction?
Mr. Chair, our forecast pre-opening on Hiawatha was not quite 20,000 passengers per weekday to open, and we did exceed that soon after opening, 24,000 the first year, and it has grown every year since.
And it's 28 now?
28 to 30 on a Twins Day, yes, or Vikings Day.
So based on that, this is likely going to be 50, 55,000.
It may. The next slide, slide three, shows the sources of funds that have been assembled for this project. Similar to Hiawatha and most of these projects nationally, it is a 50-50 split of funding between the federal government and non-federal, as we say, local sources. And this pie chart simply breaks out the separation of that $479 million of local contributions coming from various sources. As you can see, state legislature has brought forward $92 million. Thank you very much for those past appropriations and past bonding bills. The county's Transit Improvement Board will bring the lion's share of the local funding.
Where does that money come from?
Mr. Chair, that is coming from the quarter-cent sales tax.
Who passed that? Did the counties pass that, or did that pass the legislature?
Yes and yes, Mr. Chair, 2 years ago, and five counties in the metro have enacted that sales tax.
So state legislators had to do with the 284 and the 92?
Correct.
Okay. The counties would not have had the opportunity to do the 292 if the state legislature hadn't given them the authority.
That is correct.
Okay.
The expenditure of funds, Chair and members, is shown on slide 4, and that's how the feds ask us to track these expenditures. So we have different parts of the construction defined as guideway and track, stations and stops, support facilities, which will be our maintenance facility, unallocated contingency the feds require us to carry for unexpected issues we encounter during construction phase, site work and special conditions, preparing the track bed for the tracks, systems, that's all the electrical work, right-of-way, and then the light rail vehicles rounds out the $957 million.
What is ROW, R-O-W? Right-of-way.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Slide 5 is the schedule.
And if I could just ask, the unallocated contingency at $144
million? Mr. Chair, that's a big number. And that is a required contingency that these New START projects are required to carry per federal transit guidance.
That's just a mathematical calculation? You back into it?
Essentially, saving you all the details, Mr. Chair, yes. There's a percent of overall project expenditures that the feds require that we carry to manage the budget to the bottom line of $957 million.
So which of these pots do the mitigation for the various issues you're dealing with on the line? What pot is that?
Mr. Chair, the mitigation actions up and down the alignment are incorporated into the actual construction estimate, so those would be floating slabs, for example, on Cedar Street in St. Paul and on Washington Avenue in Minneapolis would be incorporated in the guideway and track, $138 million.
Okay. What else? What are the other mitigation things you're doing?
The other primary, Mr. Chair, mitigation would be for electromagnetic interference, and we will incorporate neutralizing wires along Washington Avenue from essentially the Washington Avenue bridgehead on the east bank all the way through the research corridor there to east of Oak Street.
What pot is that in?
And that would appear in the systems $119 million. That's already incorporated as well.
And what's that called again? The white?
It's, Mr. Chair, it's the electromagnetic interference mitigation.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chair.
Anything else? Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Furman, is there any additional money needed for the maintenance shop? Did you have to expand or do anything more to the existing shops?
Mr. Chair and Representative Leader, the central project is going to be acquiring an existing vacant warehouse. You may recall much discussion on that a year ago, the old Diamond Products or Gillette, some people may recall, building at the east end of downtown St. Paul. So we will be acquiring that building and bringing it back to life after 5 years of dormancy, putting tracks in the building. It has very good bones, as the architects like to say. We'll put a new roof on it, but the structure is very sound, and we will make it into a rail shop. Slide 5 shows the schedule of key milestone activities, past, present, and future. Here in the next week, we will expect Federal Transit's action to certify that there is no adverse impact caused by the creation of the three additional stations that we have incorporated into the project recently at Hamlin, Victoria, and Western Avenues in St. Paul. We expect within a month that FTA will grant us permission to enter final design, which is a key second to final milestone on these big projects. And then we will make application to Federal Transit for the full funding grant at that same time. We expect that then will be provided to us in the September timeframe by Federal Transit. Revenue service will put people on the trains in 2014.
So what is the, looks like a lot of deadlines here. What's the deadline that everybody keeps telling me is the deadline we're meeting?
The deadline for what?
What's the, capital T-H-E, what's the deadline?
Yep, Mr. Chair, it really is the contractual commitment by the federal government in the form of the full funding grant agreement. And that is currently scheduled in that September time frame, yes.
Has that ever moved, or has that always been September 1st, 10? Has that moved over the last 4 or 5 years, or has that always been the date?
Mr. Chairman, we had been carrying at the project office July 1 full funding grant date up until discussions with FTA at the end of last year, a couple months ago, when they requested that that date move out by a couple months so that they could complete their risk assessment and all of their evaluation work that the project was fit, ready, and a solid candidate to go into full construction.
So for 5 years, it's been July 1, 10? I picked 5 years out of the air.
Mr. Chair, when we were granted permission to start engineering on this project a little over 3 years ago, we had always been showing a full funding grant date of summer 2010 with revenue service with the trains in mid-2014. So the only change during our engineering process of the last few years has been to move out that full funding date by a couple months.
And did that change the 2014 date? That movement?
Chair, there would be a similar movement by those couple months in 2014. We were looking initially at a spring 2014. That will likely be a summer 2014 revenue date.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, Ali, maybe you asked this question already. What happens to that date with the two court cases that are pending, if they're not unresolved?
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, those are certainly active litigation matters that we are working through with our general counsel and the plaintiffs, working with court schedules on that. And at this time, Federal Transit Administration has indicated that those would not cause for undue delay to receive the full funding grant.
So what if they're not resolved?
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, I was the chief financial officer on the Hiawatha project that began really 10 years ago. And at the time of the full funding grant in January 2001, there were 8 various legal matters that were pending. FTA experiences this on all of these large public infrastructure projects, and they know that they will work their way through the court system, and they are hesitant to stop these projects in their tracks, so to speak. That would result in really never any of these projects being undertaken.
Well, Mr. Chair, that seems different information than I had the last time that we met with the Met Council on that, but that's either reassuring or strange, one or the other. Go ahead.
So if somebody sues the project, that doesn't slow down the funding. But if somebody asks for a change in the project, that slows the funding down. I'm having trouble tracking on that.
Mr. Chair, there's kind of two prongs to your question. One is, if a project were to be proposed to be relocated or realigned, that has environmental impacts, and FTA under the National Environmental Policy Act does require a fresh evaluation of that, and that simply causes delay to engineer that, go through the public hearing, public comment process.
But it doesn't change the funding schedule, the full funding schedule. What if a lawsuit changes the alignment? What if a lawsuit is successful and it changes the alignment? It didn't affect getting the full funding. It just affected the ability to implement it, and it slows things down a little bit. But you didn't lose the funding.
Mr. Chairman, the outcome of any litigation could be any number of different outcomes. And so depending upon how the court would act, whether that is to issue some kind of temporary restraining order would be one hypothetical example, or direct the Met Council to revisit where the project is aligned. Any of those scenarios have different schedule and different timing impacts to the project.
Now, the question is, but it doesn't affect the funding ultimately.
It affects the letters.
Has anybody ever given the money back after they've been granted the money?
Not to my knowledge.
Have any court decisions ever forced a realignment on any project in the country?
Mr. Chair, I can't speak to all the dozens of projects nationally. My experience in the federal transit arena has indicated where there has been a restraining order or an injunction issued to a project grantee that then requires a evaluation of an alternative that is not currently in the approved alignment. And that would have environmental impacts and schedule delays.
Not unlike if you started digging somewhere and you found something that forced you to slow something down. You know, you found a burial site or something, you'd have to change your schedule. You'd have to do a new environmental. But you don't lose the federal funds.
That's correct.
Matter of fact, you may end up getting more federal funds because the project is more expensive now.
Mr. Chair, the nature of a full funding grant agreement is whereby once the feds sign on the dotted line, they limit their overall participation financially. And so once the federal grant is issued, that $479 million is a fixed number for federal participation.
So if there are additional costs at that point, who would pick that up?
First, we would look to project contingency, the $144 million on the sources slide. And if all the contingency were to be exhausted, then there would need to be additional local contributions identified to pay for those extraordinary costs.
And who are the likely suspects for that?
I think we see them, Mr. Chairman, on the slide number three. Slide number three, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Furman, is it?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You use the term relocate or realign in your testimony, but that's a problem for you. But changing the design of something in the same location, in the same alignment, would you tell me if that's a problem that would cause us to not get the money?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, again, it would depend on the nature of that design question that you're posing. If it is a very minor design modification related to streetscaping or landscaping, no, that would not cause a delay. It would simply be a change order to the contractor.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the other opposite extreme, Representative, is if That design modification requires to add a station in one example. That does have environmental consequences and would be subject to environmental review.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm pursuing this for a reason. I think all of us around here have been extremely frustrated, and I go to slide 11. And we've had several meetings on the possible design on the north side of the Capitol. As you come out the Capitol building, the first thing you're going to see is a barrier with poles up on top of it and a little bit of a cut in the street. They've asked us for, I think, the CAP agency and the bonding bill for, $23 million or $10 million or $2 million, I guess, to change the design of the fence to make it look like it's instead of a wrought iron fence. And to make the poles, I don't know if these are the newly designed poles or otherwise. They're not.
They're the baseline poles.
Baseline poles. And some of our discussions we've had with them is, I think this has a cut of 18 inches down. No pedestrian traffic at all. And some of our discussions was, what would happen if you made a little deeper cut, not bury it completely into a tunnel, but a little bit of a deeper cut? And we've been informed and told over and over again, you can't change the design of it. You can't do that because that would put us into a big environmental review and would have to jeopardize all that federal money.
He's talking about 11.
Now I understand that's not the case. That there may be additional costs associated with it, and I wish you had all the other things that are associated with that. That's asking us to build a tunnel, a delivery tunnel underneath, keep the old tunnel that leaks there, because the reason they didn't go down is because they wanted to keep the old tunnel that is cold and leaks already. And one of the suggestions was to look at maybe lowering that down 2 or 3 feet so we have a little bit better design. And we were told all the time, and it was Representative Carlson, Representative Hausman, and others have been very interested in protecting the integrity of the Capitol. Have no idea what the noise would be. But we said, you can't do anything with that except put some additional money in so we have a little bit fancier light poles.
Mr. Furman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, we did have some of this same dialogue right after the new year when we met over at the project office. And the slide 11 that you see in your handout here does represent the design, which is what we call a shallow cut of a couple, 2, 3, 4 feet in the north and northeast front of the Capitol building. We have designed the project for this way for two reasons. One, Representative Solberg is correct, to preserve the existing pedestrian tunnel and to allow for a future pedestrian tunnel that the Department of Administration has as part of their overall master plan for pedestrian connectivity to the Capitol building. The second reason that we've designed it this way is to ease the grade for those trains, particularly the westbound trains as they come up Robert Street and make the corner to go westbound University Avenue, so that those trains can make that climb successfully and head to the west.
Mr. Chairman, I understand all that, and that's good reasons. But you forgot one other thing that was always discussed with us. And that is, if you do anything besides the design that's given to us that's in there, you couldn't do anything else, that it would cause a delay in the funding. Now I hear that the only thing that might cause a delay is relocation and realignment. And I don't think that's being very straightforward with us. And I don't want to pursue it at this meeting, but we are going to pursue it some more.
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, to that point, Representative Solberg, I think that Mr. Furman has been more than open and upfront with these designs and this, you know, this area of the corridor all along. And I don't think that Mr. Furman in any way, shape, or form has tried to mislead anyone in regards to this project. Now, there may be someone above his pay grade that you would want to have that conversation with, but I think Mr. Furman has done an excellent job.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, I didn't say that. What I said was the information we were given, and I think he was part of the meeting, was that any change in the design would cause us to have to do an environmental impact statement and would cause a delay or put the jeopardy of the funding. Now I'm informed that if that would be the case, if it was relocated or realigned. And I've said I'm going to not pursue it here, but I want to pursue it further.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Solberg, you know, we all know that there's Indians and chiefs around here, and, you know, I think that some of the information that you're talking about was probably at the chief level instead of at the Indian level.
But Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, I know everyone's got a boss.
Even us.
On that point, do you speak for the Met Council today or do you not speak for the Met Council?
Mr. Chairman, I'm here representing the project office. I work for the Metropolitan Council, and I am here to speak to the technical points of scope, schedule, and budget on the Central Corridor LRT project.
So you can't answer... You're not in a position to answer the question, or to. I know you're trying to answer. You're not trying to avoid. You're not in a position to kind of satisfy Representative Solberg's question on that point. You're not in a position to satisfy that.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to take up Representative Solberg's suggestion. We can have a more detailed discussion offline. There are many levels of detail here.
This is online. This is a public meeting.
Sure.
The legislature has been a major participant in the funding. So let's just move on. But Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, you know, with this issue behind the Capitol, you know, the Department of Administration, I've had a lot of discussion with people at the Met Council, but Department of Administration and Senator Rest came forward and said that, you know, there's several things here that we could do better. And I think that the Met Council all heard some of those suggestions and are looking at ways of implementing some of those pieces. The one thing that, you know, when you're talking about the tunnels, the one thing that came up in our bonding committee that didn't get any play at all was this new tunnel that admin wants to build that's going to happen sooner or later. So what's going to happen is we're going to build the train, and then we're going to build a tunnel afterwards. And, you know, if you know anything about road construction or, you know, building trains, that is kind of a bass-ackwards proposition. We should have done the tunnel first, fix our tunnel system, and then you know, do this. But
so maybe somebody could help me here. Did it make it in the final bonding bill, the $1.2
million? I think it was 2.1 or something.
That was in the bill we passed last night.
Right.
Somebody has already... It was not in the bill? So it was in the Senate bill, was not in the House, and did not survive the conference?
That's correct.
Okay, well, somebody was asking for additional money.
Senator Rest.
There's something around here.
Senator Rest did, yes.
Okay, so when Representative Solberg, I don't know the details here. All I know is when Representative Solberg asks, is there more money involved here, and is somebody changing the design, or can't we change the design? And there's not a direct response to that. I sit there and I go back to my question. who pays for things that are not in this original budget, because we know that the feds are capped out. And I think it's pretty clear that the legislature is going to pay for it, or Hennepin or Ramsey County or City or Minneapolis or St. Paul are going to come and ask us to pay for it. And that's part of the reason we're kind of sitting here right now. We're about to spend $200 million, and there seem to be additional costs, and that may be fine. It's just that it'd be nice to know what we're talking about here. And the question, and again, you may not be in a position to answer this, but Representative Solberg asked pretty directly, would changing this design around the Capitol alter the time frame? And based on your discussion today, his impression is it does not. Only realignments do, the federal funding. But that's what I heard. Is that inaccurate, what we just heard, or not?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, members, allow me to try to further clarify. When we're looking at slide 11, there are components on slide 11. Well, let me first say that slide 11 is, as the project is designed today, what we call the baseline design. And for those items that have been requested in a bonding request of Department of Finance from the Capital Area Architecture Planning Board, those included some enhancements in this immediate area of the Capitol campus. That would include more ornate poles, the tall white poles you see next to the train. Those are called the overhead catenary poles. It would include dual lantern street lights along the sidewalk.
$22 million.
See single lantern
integration
lights on this graphic representation. Those sorts of design adjustments. Those sorts of design adjustments are easily accommodated, and once funded through whatever source, we can easily adjust our design plans to accommodate those sorts
of... So is there money, do you already have money in this budget to accommodate, I don't know if the exact solution will be what Representative Solberg is selecting, but do you have money built in there to make some changes there that might accommodate whatever some of the legislative leadership has asked you to accommodate? That's the threshold question, I think. Or is that money not in this budget right now?
Mr. Chairman, we spent a number of years and hundreds of meetings with the local jurisdictions, counties, cities, University of Minnesota, talking about what is the baseline design, which I am representing in some of these slides today, and what is some of the enhanced design that those local partners would desire. Wherever there has been enhanced, or what we use the term betterment request, those must be funded outside of the project through local sources.
Okay. So any change to this capital design is going to come out of somebody else's pocket right now, not out of the project.
Right.
Okay. I think that's where he was asking. Now, there was a $22 million request by the agency. What is that potentially for? Is that what that's for?
It's for the tunnels.
Mr. Chairman, I believe you're referring to the Department of Administration bonding request, and that is for the service and pedestrian tunnel, a new tunnel underneath the University Avenue and underneath the Central LRT, connecting up with the north side of the Capitol.
So that's not a project cost?
Again, that is outside of the project.
And it's not paid for yet?
Correct.
Mr. Chair,
okay.
My understanding of it also, there's, I think, an additional $2 million from CAP agency for enhancing the making different poles and making the Capitol look like a Capitol, protect the integrity of the building that we have.
So that's $24 million outside the project that has not been paid for yet.
But Mr. Chair... My concern is the word or the use of the words relocate, realign, and I just want to pursue that because that my understanding was is if there was anything changes at all on the design of the alignment would cause us to not get the monies, and this has been a helpful clarification of that.
Okay. And just for me, that $24 million obviously is not in the CEI.
Correct.
Senator Pogemiller, just to add to what you were talking about regarding the CAP board request, the $1.2 million. Senator Rest Senator Papp, I spoke with Senator Langseth about including that in the $30 million that were requested for a transit capital in the Senate request, and that did not come as part of the conference committee report.
Okay. So I mean this rhetorically now, and I will come back to it later. So if somebody will come up with some money for you, you will do something different.
Again, Mr. Chairman, I have to qualify my response to say a modest design modification, as I gave examples of the overhead poles and the lights.
$24 million?
Well, Mr. Chair, 90% of that is for a tunnel underneath the railroad. 22 of that $24 million is for a admin requested pedestrian and service tunnel.
Would we do the tunnel if we weren't doing the light rail behind the Capitol?
The light.
Senator Pogemiller and members, I think one of the issues related to the tunnel came out of a security report based on the legislative auditor that suggested that they move the loading area away from the backside of the Capitol here. So that may have occurred with or without the central corridor, but I think that the request to do it sooner than later because the central corridor was coming online. That is why it's considered outside of the project office because of the cost related to the central corridor. It has more to do with the legislative auditor's report.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lake.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Furman, just to clear up the alignment, you're speaking about horizontal alignment. The vertical alignment, that wouldn't affect. I don't think that'd be a big effect unless you went really more than six or a couple feet. Isn't that correct? So you're concerned about the horizontal alignment, not vertical.
Mr. Chair and Representative Leader, there could be environmental impacts of a horizontal or a vertical shift in the alignment. I will say that if there were contemplated a deeper cut and a deeper alignment around the north and east sides of the Capitol building, many of the thousands of these pages of documents would need to be redone due to redesign. And we have identified numerous existing utilities underneath University Avenue and Robert Street, many of those utilities serving directly the state governmental operations that are not impacted with our current shallow cut design that would be impacted and would need to be relocated in some way with a deeper cut design. And that will have dollar and design consequences.
But, Mr. Chairman, but not a delay in the funding mechanism or not pushing that out, according to your testimony earlier.
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, let me further clarify. These are 95%, 96.7% complete design documents. Federal government's reviewed these. They've approved those, and within 30 days, they will grant Met Council permission to complete the final design on this project. And so once I were to report hypothetically to the federal government that we have changed the vertical alignment of the tracks in and around the Capitol building.
Change what?
The vertical profile, okay. Vertical alignment, however you wish to characterize it. Many of these thousands of documents will need to be re-engineered, and that will cause FTA to delay permission to enter final design and proceed forward with this project in the short term of 2010.
So that means that basically that the lower cut's not going to happen under your current scenario.
Mr. Chair, it would not happen under the current project budget or schedule.
Okay, continue. You were on page 6.
Yes, and this is just a synopsis of the five large contract packages that the project will need to implement and ultimately award. You can see them here, light rail vehicles, the Civil East, which is the catalyst for today's meeting, Civil West systems, which is all the electrical and the operation maintenance facility we spoke about earlier.
So the whole 200 is Civil East?
Yes.
That
okay.
is correct.
Okay.
And what I probably should do is just give you a geographical sense of what Civil East and Civil West is, and that is on the next slide. where you can see the project alignment here. And what we've done is separate the Civil East and Civil West packages at the city-county line, right in front of KSTP television in the midway there. So essentially the Civil East package will have not quite 7 miles worth of rail construction. The Civil West will have about 3+ miles of rail construction, and the Civil West package will include the retrofication of the Washington Avenue Bridge connecting the two banks of the campus.
Just so I have it clear in my mind, the division line is which street, the Channel 5 street? Which street is that?
Mr. Chair, I believe it's Emerald Street.
Emerald, good. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner.
Mr. Furman, so you're going to have other, we'll have other notifications to the LAC for future procurements?
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, that's correct. We had sent to you notice of the light rail vehicle procurement last fall. You are recently in receipt of the Civil East notice, and you will soon be receiving in the next month or so the notice for the Civil West. The estimate for that contract is about $133 million.
Okay. So we'll be back. Mr. Chair, you'll get another notice from me in about the next 30 days, Mr. Furman was saying, for Civil West for $130 million.
So another notice and another meeting. Just so you know, since Civil West is right through the heart of my district, we're probably going to – I'll probably request a meeting.
Okay.
So, all right, let's continue.
The next series of slides, beginning at slide 8, just show you some architect renderings of how the project will be laid out here in the Civil East end of the project. So we have Dale Street Station here. And this station and many of the stations along University Avenue will be different than what you are familiar with on Hiawatha. And these, they're called split side because of the need to preserve two through lanes of traffic on the avenue, east and westbound. We had to stagger the platform, so you will have a westbound platform on the west side of Dale and the eastbound platform on the east side of Dale Street. So it's really a staggered configuration that you see depicted on this slide. The next couple slides are what you may be more familiar with on Hiawatha. Those are the parallel side platform arrangements where the platforms actually face each other, and access to those platforms are from the same same end of the train platform. This is the type of platform that will be at the stations around the Capitol. You can see the Rice Street Station rendering here looking east towards the Capitol building with the station in the foreground there and Leif Erickson Park abutting the station just to its immediate south.
Just a quick question. I'm having the visual on the split side.
Yes.
Automobiles will not travel in between those two stations. There will not be automobile traffic in between, will there?
Mr. Chair, no.
Okay.
All auto traffic will be on the outside
okay.
of the stations.
Okay.
Yep.
Because there's just not a picture of that here. Okay. Or that is okay. Thank you.
Yep. Slide 11 we have spoken to. I really have no other overview comments on that slide.
Well, that's the final design, basically. You're not going to change it, is what you told us. Right?
That is how we have designed it and how we plan to build the alignment around the Capitol. Yes, it is.
So if things proceed here, that's it.
Senator Pogemiller, I think one of the issues with the $1.2 million that the Cap Board was requesting, if that money were to be made available in the next, at the end of this session, I would suspect that we would be able to put in the granite balustrades in the back and do the ornamental lighting, I believe, which would start at the Rice Street Station, come through the Capitol, down Capitol East, and end right before you cross the Cedar Bridge.
Okay.
So that would be able to be taken care of.
Slide 12 is the overhead view of the Capital East Station on Robert Street between all the state buildings there as part of the Capital Campus. Again, parallel side platform configuration. The next steps as it pertains to the Civil East procurement, as Mr. Shetland mentioned at the outset, we will be prepared to issue the bid package, the bid documents, as I brought with today, next week, to our contracting community. We have pre-certified and pre-qualified six construction contractors from Minnesota and around the country who have applied for and have received approval to submit bids on this large bid package. We'll open bids at the end of April, award June 23, you can see there, and then begin construction in the middle of the summer this year. The next slide gives you a geographic sense of where we will begin that construction on the Civil East contract. We will need to relocate a fair amount of utilities, and we will start doing that this summer on 12th Street and on Robert Street.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
Just to that, do you have a slide of some kind that shows the amount of relocation of on University Avenue? Where that's relocated? Utility relocation on University Avenue? Here's where you're beginning the utility relocation there. Do you have that side as it represents for the whole corridor? Where you are going to use utility relocations?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, there is some utility relocation for all of the 10 new miles of railroad construction. Okay. It varies by quantity and relocation. It's most intense for utility relocation on 4th Street in downtown St. Paul, that work that we began last August, as well as on Robert Street. There are utilities on University Avenue, but because of the existence of the former streetcar, many of those utilities from the first half of the 20th century already were located on the perimeters on the outsides of University Avenue.
So can we just have a little bit more detail on that? That's all I'm asking for utility relocation.
Yep, I don't have those slides with me. We can provide
those.
I
understand that. I would appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chair and members, in summary, on slide 15, the key milestones here in 2010 highlighted here. As I've mentioned, the FTA has indicated to us that they will grant us approval to enter final design, that next-to-last step in these large projects that will be forthcoming in the next month or so. We will then begin advertising those big construction packages, the Civil East piece at the end of next week, and Civil West Operation Maintenance Facility and Systems will ensue during the springtime. We'll begin to make award on those projects in the summer with the condition that full funding grant agreement will be forthcoming then in early fall 2010.
So out of the $200 million, how much of it is state money, how much is federal money, how much of it is local money? The reason we're here is this $200 million. What's
Mr. Chair, the split of the funding sources would pretty much filter through all of these projects and all these contracts. So it would be 50% of the $200 million is federal. So that's $100 million, $60 million from the County's Transit Improvement Board, and then the smaller amounts, I guess it would be $28 million from the Ramsey County, $6 million from Hennepin County, and the state's share of that would be the 9%, or about whatever that would be.
Could you give us a sheet?
$18 million.
Could you give us a written sheet of what the breakout is?
For Civil
the $200 million, for the $200 million?
Certainly, we can do that.
And the county improvement, just I want to reiterate, just so I'm clear in my mind, the County Transit Improvement Board money is money that was authorized by the state legislature, by a vote of the state legislature?
Yes, sir, almost exactly 2 years ago this week.
And that happened on an override vote? Do I recall correctly how that happened?
That is how I recall that as well, Mr. Chair.
Do you think
Chair.
That your higher-ups and your bosses know how that happened?
Senator Pogemiller, I know that the folks at the Metropolitan Council are aware it's funded.
This is an advisory committee. Is the Met Council interested in our advice?
Senator Pogemiller, absolutely. And I mean that, Senator Pogemiller.
Well, that's not the impression I've been getting in the last year and a half in my neighborhood, for me, personally. Other questions?
Mr. Chair, is the total cost $212 million of that?
Mr. Chair, Representative, are you asking the total cost of the Civil East?
Yes. Projected cost.
Yes. Representative, our current forecast for that is a little bit more than that, including contingency. If one adds the contingency for the Civil East, it's an additional $50 million or $250 million. If one includes contingency, and about $200 million without contingency for this contract.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just looked at the numbers he had given me, $100 million from federal, $60 from the state, the 28 and 6 from Ramsey County, and 18 from the state. Is the 18 included in the 60?
It would not be.
That was 212, so.
As promised, Mr. Chair, we'll give you the specific breakout by funding source.
Thank you. That'd be very helpful.
Yep.
Any other questions? Okay, just to give you a heads up, on the Civil East, I'm not going to intervene at this point because that's not in my community. My advice to you is that you have not resolved the issues around the Capitol. And I find it a curiosity that you can fit three new stations in, but that somehow doesn't change the timetable. But I'm just pointing that out. So I'm the Civil East one is, you know, okay, whatever. But I do want to give you a heads up. On the Civil West, I'm going to have additional advice. And perhaps additional action. So I'm not sure that I'm going to be limited to advice on Civil West. And again, I'm speaking for myself only. So I just, if you're going to be back in a month or so, you need to know that, it's your choice what you do. But someone might want to talk to the majority leader of the Senate before you're here next time for $130 million. Just a thought. And I would advise that it's a decision maker. Is there anything not clear about what I just said?
Senator Pogemiller, I understand clearly.
But my advice is I don't think you're ready on East. I personally don't think you're ready on East, but that's not my issue. But I don't think you're ready. I think you've told the legislature you don't care, ultimately, the vertical height of that. And I think what you just told us was, you know, this is the way it's going to be around the state capitol, whatever you think. Okay, but that's not my issue. That was my advice. On the second 130, that is my issue. Any other questions or thoughts? Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you
for informing the commissioner about this, as you said, the largest public project in the history of the state.
Yes.
I do think it's important to come before the legislature before you spend this kind of money. And I just want to reiterate, my advice is I don't think you're ready to spend this kind of public tax dollars, personally. Meeting adjourned.